Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton. You know, last week we had Milo Hansen with us. Milo is the gentleman that has the distinction of harvesting the world record typical whitetail buck back in 93. Milo is back with us today, and I'd like Milo to share how the fact that he took the biggest buck in the world, how it's altered his life. Milo, thank you again for spending some time with us.
No problem, Luke.
You know, that had to be a huge deal for you. I mean, I don't care what you're talking about, there's only one world record, and as popular as deer hunting is, white-tailed deer, that had to make a huge impact. I know you've told your story many times, haven't you, through the years?
A few times, yeah.
Well, tell us how it immediately how it impacted you. I mean, what were some of the first things you noticed? Said, "Wow, I'm a world record holder." How did it impact you in the very beginning?
Yeah, well, at first, you know, I was thinking, and the other guys that were with me, you know, there's a group of us, and we were thinking, you know, it was local stuff. We were going to get the trophy at our town, and that was it, eh? So when one of my friends, is Adam Ivashenko, I had mentioned before, came back from hunting moose, he came over and he measured it. And he was the one that first said, you know, wow, either I made a mistake or this is a world record. And at that time, I didn't know what the world record, you know, figure was. I knew all about measuring and scoring and Boone and Crockett. And we have our local or Saskatchewan record committee, which is Henry Kelsey. Eh? So then another friend of ours from another club, we took it over there and he measured it. And he had some books there and we looked at him and holy man, here. You know, we're like 7-8 inches. Like the green score was 214 and 4/8. We can score a green score in Saskatchewan. And, you know, we're looking at, you know, 7-some inches above the Jordan buck. Mm-hmm. And then another guy from another club wanted to measure it, and we measured it. And this is when started the, he said, can I phone Gordon Whittington? And I said, well, sure, I don't care. And at that time, I didn't even know Gordon Whittington was editor of North American Whitetail. But anyway, Gordon phoned, and he asked if he could come down, and I said, sure. So him and Steve Vaughn came down, and we spent about 13, 14 hours in our house negotiating stuff. And at the same time, Jim Zumbo wanted the story for Outdoor Life, and he was in Saskatchewan, and he was on the phone, and they were both, you know, bid each other up on the price of the story, which I didn't know there was a value to even it. And North American Whitetail, you know, gave us $6,500, and Outdoor Life gave us $6,000. So that was pretty good, you know, amount of money for a farmer that morning, eh?
Yes. Then the point probably drove home that hey, this is I'm on to something here, didn't it? You know.
Yeah. And at first it was sort of terrible because you know we had so much attention and.
Yeah.
Phones ringing, you know, and this was before the email was even out or texting or, you know, Facebooking, all that stuff, eh? And, people phoning and nice people. Some people wanted to buy a trade truck. I didn't even know why you'd want to buy it. I said, you know, why would you want to buy somebody else's horns, eh?
Exactly.
I didn't know there was this market out there, this whole interest, eh? But I soon found out and had to learn a lot of things.
Sure. And actually now, Milo, folks can buy replicas of your buck. I mean, you know, can't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, it had to be life changing, and I can imagine every outdoor writer from South Texas to your part of the world was probably calling you, and it could almost overpower a person in the very beginning.
It was just. Like my wife said, I think I'll break this record with a hammer.
she'd had enough of that phone ringing day and night.
Well, yeah. And my son was in Alberta in the oil outfit, and we had to put an answering machine in. We had nothing before because we had to start screening it because, you know, we wanted to still talk to him, and he didn't know what was going on, eh? And so we put an answering machine in, and, that's the first time we had an answering machine. And
Yeah. You know, probably not just door-to-door people up there, is it? I mean, you're probably pretty quiet and in a fairly secluded part of the world up there, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I mean, where we live, we're 3/4 mile off any road, and that ain't a busy road to begin with. So, yeah, we don't see anybody drive by, you know. So, yeah, it was quite a difference, eh?
Well,
you know, Bill Jordan, I talked to him. David Blanton came out, and they videoed, and Bill came out and videoed. And, I mean, it was, you know, our place was just a revolving door, you know.
I could only imagine. And then now, it's still just as much the record book today as it was back in the fall of 93. Do you still make many of the shows and that type stuff?
No, I haven't did any shows for probably, 6-8 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm older now, and the hassle, you know.
Yes, I understand.
After, you know, because I'm a Canadian, most of the shows are held down the States there, so
yeah.
You have to go through brokers, and you got to get an O-1 certificate, so you need a sponsor down there, and every time one of these costs you $3,000-$4,000 to get. And, became real hassle.
Well, your kids, your grandkids, and everybody, you're at a stage of life now, Milo, where you can sit back on that big farm, and in the evenings, maybe when you get all the crops done, and sit on that rocking chair, and just, you can always think about that fall back in 1990.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Milo, the last 2 weeks have been a pleasure to have you with us. I really do appreciate your time. And retelling the story, and you know, I want to get you back down the road sometime, and let's talk some more deer hunting. You also put another whitetail buck in the Boone and Crockett record book. Maybe next time we'll talk about that. How about it?
Sure. Yeah. No, that'd be good. Yeah.
Well, thanks again, Milo, and folks, we are out of time today. Make sure and tune in next week at the same time. We're going to talk some more hunting and fishing for sure. High Plains Outdoors is made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, BigGame.org, Texas Motor Cars, a new way to shop for your next car or truck, Sniper Hog Lights, lights for your bow, rifle, or crossbow, Margaret Holmes, seasoned canned goods that taste just like homemade, New Fletch Archery. With New Fletch, you'll never have to fletch arrows again, and Shock Strap, a new way to secure loads without using ratchets.